Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on concealing the faults of Muslims and the prohibition of publicizing their faults unnecessarily. So today we do two short hadiths, but similar meanings, but great lessons in them. An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qal, إِذَا زَنَتِ الْأَمَةُ فَتَبَيَّنُوا زِنَاهَا فَلْيَجْلِدْهَا الحد ولا يثرب عليها ثم إن زنت الثانية فليجلدها الحد ولا يثرب عليها ثم إن زنت الثالثة فليبيعها ولو بحبل من شعر متفق عليه. هذا أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said that when a slave woman commits fornication and it is proven, she should be flogged and not rebuked. Flogged and not rebuked. I'll explain this just now. If she then commits fornication a second time, she should be flogged and not rebuked. If she commits fornication a third time, her master should sell her, even if it be for a rope made of fibers. So what this hadith is teaching us? It's teaching us that in Islam sometimes we will have to reprimand. We will have to punish sometimes. Islam requires to keep peace, to maintain stability, to maintain justice. At times there has to be some punishment. There's no government in the world that can run a country punishments or any type of penalties because of certain actions that people do. But in Islam we are taught that even when you are allowed to have a certain type of a punishment, a certain type of reprimand, at that stage also don't go beyond the borders of reprimanding. Don't exceed that borders, because instead of you reprimanding, now you are becoming an oppressor. You're allowed to reprimand to that extent, to that framework. And the moment you go beyond that, you're becoming an oppressor. You're doing more than you're supposed to be doing. You're not realizing it. And this often happens when people are reprimanding another. For example, a father sometimes is reprimanding the child, the teacher is reprimanding the student, or the person that is carrying out the capital punishment in Islam is doing more than he's supposed to. Why? Sometimes it's just to vent emotions. So here Islam is teaching us that you venting that emotion by going beyond the framework of the permissible allowed punishment or reprimanding that you're supposed to be giving or you're allowed to give, by you going beyond that, you've actually exceeded the boundaries of Islam. You're now causing harm to someone else. Here it may be your own slave. So what the hadith is telling us, that when a slave woman commits fornication, it is proven, it's not just that it's hearsay, it is proven, it's clear, then she should be flogged and not rebuked. Now the temptation is, now after she got her punishment, Islam has allowed the punishment of being flogged. Now you still go and you verbally rebuke her, you abuse her verbally. This Islam doesn't allow. Look at the justice of Islam. If here a woman had committed something under the person's control, here she has committed zina with someone else, but yet you are told that don't rebuke her. Why? Because now you are exceeding the boundaries that Islam has allowed. She's allowed to be flogged. That punishment has been meted out. There is no need for you to still rebuke her. If she does it the second time, again she'll be flogged. But don't rebuke her. Don't go beyond what Islam is allowing, even if it may be verbally. And the third time the hadith is saying, then sell her. Why sell her? Because now there is no khair, there is no benefit for you in keeping her. And constantly you'll have that worry that this woman is such a woman, that she's a loose woman, she's committing fornication. Rasulullah Islam is telling us that even if it be for some fibers of a rope, for a rope made of fibers, then she should be sold. So the thought may come to the mind that if she's not good to be under me, how can a Muslim sell this type of a woman who's loose to someone else? Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi explains, other ulama explain, that perhaps under someone else's care, this woman may have taken a much better akhlaq. Maybe she may improve herself. Maybe you as the master don't have those qualities that can teach her, that she can be guided. Maybe you don't have it, but someone else may have those qualities. Or the next person may even marry her, and now her status increases. Her status increases also in Islam, and she may become a much better person. So therefore, you rather sell her, because there's no benefit by keeping such a woman by you. So now this is what Islam is teaching. The next hadith is also a short hadith, inshallah. We'll just do it and terminate. An Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qal, أُتِيَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم بِرَجْلٍ قَدْ شَرِبَ خَمْرًا قَالَ اِضْرِبُوهُ قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ رضي الله عنه فَمِنَّ الضَّارِبُ بِيَدِهِ وَالضَّارِبُ بِنَعْلِهِ وَالضَّارِبُ بِثُوبِهِ فَلَمَّا انْصَرَفَ قَالَ بَعْضُ الْقَوْمِ أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ قَالَ لَا تَقُولُ هَكَذَا لا تعين عليه الشيطان رواه البخاري. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that a man who had consumed alcohol was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beat him. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that some of us beat him with our hands. In other Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to now try and correct this person that was a drinker, that was brought to him consuming alcohol, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Sahaba to give him some hiding. When you hit a person like that, the next time he won't do it again, he'll get worried. Said, I'm going to catch hiding again. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told the Sahaba to hit him. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that some of us hit him with our hands. We beat him with our hands. Others beat them with their sandals, took out their chumples, and started hitting him. And others beat him with their clothes. Some of them took out their upper garments and started hitting him with their clothes. When the man turned and left, now after the man is caught at hiding, the drunkard that was brought, we mustn't look down. These are all lessons for us. These things happen. So we shouldn't even use that word, the wrong word, drunkard. But that person who was consuming alcohol had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when this man turned and he left, Allah Ta'ala made it such, they were great, great, great people. We can never reach the dust of Sahaba. But these incidents were made to happen so that we can take lesson and we can try and improve our lives. So anyway, when the man turned and he left, someone said, may Allah Ta'ala disgrace you. What somebody said? أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ. May Allah Ta'ala disgrace you. So when this person said that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't say that. In other words, what was needed to be done to that person was done. He was needed to get a bit of a beating, so that now it makes him aware that he shouldn't be doing this. Now there was no need to add more to that punishment. Now by you adding more, you're committing zulam. Look at the justice of Islam. One person just said that, Akhzakallah, may Allah Ta'ala disgrace you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately stopped him and said, do not say that. Do not help shaitan against him by making dua of disgrace for him. Do not help shaitan against him by making dua for disgrace against him. In other words, shaitan wants to see a person disgraced. He doesn't want to see a Muslim with respect and honor. He wants a person to be disgraced, and you saying, may Allah Ta'ala disgrace him, you're actually helping shaitan in his work to get another person disgraced. This is what shaitan wants to see, people disgraced. So you are helping shaitan by cursing the person. Rather, you should be making dua for that person. Anything you see wrong, make dua for that person, make dua for ourselves. This way we'll be helping our brother, and we'll be helping ourselves. Anyway, the reason why Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi had brought this, to show us that person doesn't expose the sin of another person, even to the extent, or not only exposing, but doesn't go beyond the borders that has been allowed for Islam to reprimand, to expose. Where it is necessary, it is necessary, but otherwise don't even use anything extra, even if it be verbal. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.